here. Something was just said that gave me a thought. I want you to know that our desire at camp is to support the local church. We are not trying to take anything away from the local church. We want to send people back to become active in the local church. There was an ad that I saw some time ago for another camp, and in that camp they had a picture of a camper that was being baptized in the camp lake by, I guess, the camp director. And that is not our position. Our position is to send them back. The pastor of their home church should be baptizing. So just wanted to let you know that our desire is to support the local church, to help the local church, to be a blessing to the local church, and not to in any way take away from the local church. We talked a little bit in Sunday school about God's leading, and how does God lead? And this is going to kind of be a follow-up with that, although we didn't really get that far in Sunday school. But do you ever struggle with how to know God's will? I believe that we have two things that are given to us for us to know God's will. What are they? The one is the Word of God. The other is the Spirit of God. So we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I confess, sometimes I talk to some people and they say, God told me to do this, or I know that this is God's will. And over the years, I've had a little trouble. The Word of God is fairly straightforward. If God says, do this or don't do this, I know, do it or don't do it. That's fairly simple. But there's some other things that are a little bit more difficult. And so the Spirit of God has to step in. Sometimes, however, don't shoot me, but I don't know when I have a thought, was that the Spirit of God or was that because I ate too much pepperoni pizza last night? Do you ever struggle with that? Do you ever struggle with knowing how do I know the will of God? This morning, what I would like to do is I'm going to preach a message that tells a little bit about how God put me right here. Please, this is not about Jim and Pat Fry. This is about a great God. Amen. But how God used this book and the Spirit of God to come together to direct our paths. I'm going to start about 25 years ago. For some of you, you say that's ancient history. It was a Thanksgiving Eve service. I was sitting back in here somewhere. An elderly gentleman was sitting up here, and he got up and quoted a verse or a small portion of the verse that made an impact upon my mind. I went home and added that verse to my scripture memory list. I have quoted that verse or thought about that verse, I think I could safely say, thousands of times since that time. This elderly gentleman right up here got up and said, quoted from Genesis 24:27. Now, in the interest of time this morning, we are not going to look up a lot of these passages that I will refer to. Does not mean they are not important. They are vitally important. But just in the interest of time, we will not take the time to look them up. But he quoted, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, if you think that's when Abraham sent his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And this Abraham's servant did everything that he knew to do. He listened carefully to the instructions. He prayed. He did everything that he was told to do. But ultimately, he said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Not that he was in the way of the Lord, but trying to do what I need to do, Lord, I need you to bump me over this direction. I need you to bump me over this direction. And I have thought about that time often, because at that point, that Wednesday evening, I'm guessing 25 years ago, it just made a real impact. I thought, I need God to do that in my life. I need God to direct in my life. Let's jump ahead to April 15th, 1999. April 15th, 1999. What's significant about April 15th? I paid my taxes, and then I went to the doctor because my wife was not pestering, but encouraging, encouraging me to get this little lump checked out on my neck. So I went to the doctor that April 15th, and by that afternoon, went to the family doctor, by that afternoon, he had me in with a specialist. And I heard for the first time, well, not for the first time, but for the first time that meant something to me, I heard the word cancer. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Are God's gifts always good?
Yes.
Do God's gifts always come wrapped in beautiful wrapping paper? No. Such was the case that April 15th. It was more like a stained, crumpled up, brown paper bag that was handed to me. The gift inside, however, was very, very good. I am confident I would not be standing here right now, today, without that gift. God's gifts are always good. Well, during that time, I'll just say a little bit about that time. God gave me 2 Chronicles 20:15. It says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And you know what? I honestly was not asking at that time for God's healing. I said, this is out of my realm. The battle is not yours, but God's. And just trust in the Lord. Now, I acknowledge that there was restless, sleepless nights, because that's one of my problems, one of my many. But the comfort, you know, this battle is not mine. If God takes me home or God leaves me here. And I remember lying in the bed. And I thought I was dying right then. I didn't then, if you wonder. I thought I was dying. I really thought I was dying. And I thought I was singing. My wife tells me I was groaning because I just wanted God to be glorified and whatever happened. But let me just tell you another little story, and then we'll move on beyond this. But gals, I just like, guys, you don't need to listen in, but gals, there are certain things that you need to do. You know, your husbands kind of have sensitive feelings. We went to the doctor, and we walked into the doctor's office, and there was a counter over here, and on the counter, there were three syringes, and I was scared to death of needles back then. I mean, I just hated needles. But I saw these three syringes, and I said to the nurse, what are those three syringes for? Oh, she said, the doctor wants to get three biopsies out of your neck. Well, that didn't really sound like a whole lot of fun to me, but they Novocaine it up so you really don't feel anything. But they stick this needle in, and after a while you feel her. She's going like this to try to get a good sample. And about that time, it turned to about 350 degrees in that room, and for the only time in my life, I passed out. Now, my wife thought they hit something and killed me. That's what she thought. She thought they hit something. But after a while, I came to, and you know, we got the other ones taken care of. And I wasn't in a position to drive. And we walk out to the car. She gets in the driver's seat. I sit in the passenger seat, and she looks over me. She said, honey, she said, you're always encouraging people to quote Scripture. You're always encouraging people just to allow Scripture to have a very real part in your life. Why didn't you do it? I said, oh, honey, I did. I said, I remember sitting in that chair. I remember clearly sitting in that chair. My verse for the day was Psalm 18:3, and I was quoting it. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Needles! I was just convinced that needles were my enemy that day. But we went on, and the doctor had said, look, he said, you have a very, very slow-growing type of cancer. But he said, we do not have a cure for it. But he said, we would expect that you'll live at least 10 years. Well, when you're in your 40s, 10 years doesn't sound like very long. And we were very active in our church. We were very active with young people. In fact, we had 30, 35 teens on a Wednesday evening. We were lay youth leaders. We had a small business, had a lay youth leaders, had family. And so we were very active. And but we said, we want to do something of more eternal value than this business that we have. Now, don't picture a multi-million-dollar business. We had we sold dairy farm equipment, milking equipment. But we said, we want to do something of more eternal value. Every door, well, almost immediately, our home church asked if we wanted to come on as associate pastor, working with the teens, and the Lord closed that door. And you ever go up to a motion detector, and like it seems like every door that you try to walk through, the Lord closes the door. And it seemed like every door was closed until finally, I would call him a friend at this point. At that time, he was an acquaintance, a youth pastor. He called me and said, Jim, he said, have you ever heard of Liberty Bible Camp, which was a camp in York County? He said, it's only being used 2 weeks a summer. I remember us going over and looking at that place. Here it had 8 cabins. It had a big activity center with a kitchen and a game room. It had stream down in the woods. It had a big playing field. And man, I was excited. I thought, you mean this place is only being used 2 weeks a summer? We went that year in 2002 and rented that camp. Sold the business, rented that camp. And I showed you in Sunday school, I think we had 71 campers that year. But it was wow. What a blessing of what God can do in the hearts of young people through a week of camp. Now, I'm supposed to be excited about camp because I'm a camp director. But if you ever want to be excited about camp, you need to come and sit where I sit for a summer. God doesn't get a hold of every kid, but we say, this young person over here, this young person over here, or this 41-year-old young man over here at a kickback retreat, that God gets a hold of their heart and transforms their life. So we rented that camp for 2002, and we rented it for several more years. One year we were running it, and a man, probably 40 years old, shows up and starts doing maintenance work. And I found out it was a director and his wife's son. And I thought, well, that's funny. I wonder why he was never here before. Well, I found out that he had just got out of jail as a child predator. I called our insurance company, and I said, what should we do? They said, close camp. This insurance company is not concerned about a broken bone. But this type of thing, they are very concerned about. They said, close camp. You don't understand the risk that you're taking by having him on the property. So we had some documentation drawn up that he was not allowed to be on the property when we were there. He had to come when we were not there to do any maintenance work. Well, his mother, I thought you were Christians. I thought you were forgiving, and now you pull this? Following year, we signed a contract. We had brochures printed. We had speakers scheduled. We had campers registered. She called us and said, Jim, we changed your mind. We're not going to rent to you this year. We were going to rent it, I think, for 7 weeks that summer, but she said, we're not going to rent to you. Whoa. What do we do? We searched and searched and searched, finally found another place. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Remember this little phrase? But as for you, ye thought evil, but as you, ye thought evil unto me, but God meant it unto good. Do you remember the situation? Joseph and his brothers. Did God step out of control a little bit when Joseph was sold into slavery? Did God step out of control a little bit when he had this lady seemingly revengeful attitude get back at us? No. God had some things clearly in mind for us. We found a property up in the Hughesville, up in the Williamsport area, that we were able to rent, I think, 1 week less than what we wanted to. We got new brochures set up and we were able to move, but God used that to move us on. Finally, we realized that if we were going to be long-term as a camp, we needed to have a camp property of our own. And we had been searching, but this kind of intensified the search. In northeast Pennsylvania, we found a Muslim camp that was for sale. And it was actually the first day of family camp, 2009, I believe. First day of family camp, 2009. So I wanted to be with the families at family camp, but one of our board members and his wife and another couple very supportive of the camp went to this auction. The morning, turn with me to this, Psalm 107. The morning of that auction, this was not my scheduled reading for this that morning. Now, you probably can't see this, but in my Bible, if I have in Psalm 107, I have four verses underlined in red. I have four verses highlighted in yellow. So as I was turning to my scheduled scripture reading for that morning, my eyes fell on this, probably because I'm pretty elementary and there was lots of color on the page. But verse 6, 13, 19, and 28 basically say the same thing. Verse 6 says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Verse 13 says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." Verse 19 and verse 28 basically say exactly the same thing. Then verse 8, 15, 21, and 31 basically say the same thing. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." It goes down through, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." That morning, my eyes fell down on verse 7, which was between a red verse of verse 6 and a green verse of verse 8. And it says, "And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation." And that morning I said, "Lord, is this the day? Is this the day that you're going to give us our own property, that we will go to a city of habitation?" Well, several hours later, I got a call from our board member. He said, "Jim," he said, "we were high bidder. We're leaving the deposit check." They were requiring a pretty significant deposit check. He said, "We bought a camp." Well, was I excited. I remember going up to the kitchen. My wife's always in the kitchen. I went up to the kitchen, and I said, "Honey, we bought a camp." And ladies, guess what she did? She started crying. And we were excited. I went into the families that were a family camp, and I said, "Praise God." I said, "We bought a property." I said, "Next year we'll be at our own property. This already has some cabins on. It already has some buildings on. It's going to be great." And we were so excited. That was on a Monday. Wednesday afternoon, I got a call from the auction company, and they said, "The bid that you gave didn't quite meet what the bank wanted. And we found somebody else that will give the full amount. So we're selling it to them, and we'll return your deposit check." They didn't give me give us a chance to rebuttal. They didn't give us a chance to make another offer. They didn't give us any chance. They said, "We're selling it to somebody else. We're returning your deposit check." I was pretty devastated. We had been praying that God would clearly close the door, and he did. If they would have come back to us and said, "Well, if you give, I don't remember the amount, another $20,000, or I don't remember what the amount was, if you give another amount, we'll give it to you." But they didn't do that. God clearly closed the door. So we started looking again. And finally, we found a property in Ramey, Pennsylvania. And in 2010, we made final settlement on that property. We were still during camp. We were still during going through camp. At the end of camp, we went up to visit the property for the first time to stay there overnight. The previous owners, well, they actually came and picked them up later, still had some picnic tables there along the lake. I went there that morning, opened my Bible to my scheduled reading for that morning, and I turned to Psalm 107, and I read verse 7, "And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation." Does that have to do with coincidence? Does it have anything to do with me being a good guy? Does it have anything to do with a great God?
Amen.
That knew that over the next couple of years, we were going to face some challenges that we had no idea that we were going to face. And we were going to say, did we make the right decision? Perhaps we did not make the right decision. That was such an encouragement right there in Psalm 107, verse 7, that God did. Well, in fact, that plaque is now my daughter and son-in-law bought that for me for Christmas. Psalm 107, 7 and 8 is on a plaque in my office. It's been kind of almost a theme verse for me for camp. Well, as we continued on, we realized that we were going to need an engineer to help us do the plans for this camp. So we were from Lancaster County, and we talked to a local engineering firm down there. And I said, well, aren't we too far away? Isn't it going to be a challenge? No, he said, we won't really even have to hardly go up there much. He said, we can do it. And he gave me his whole spiel. And I said, okay, we'll do it. Draw up the whatever paperwork. You know, we'll go with you. A couple days later, we went up to the camp property, and my wife and I met with an engineer that was from that area right there in Osceola Mills, not too far away. And it was a female, and she said, oh, she started telling us how she knows all the local ordinances, she knows all the local people, she knows all the regulations. And we said, wow, we need to go with this lady right here. This lady right here was going to get the work done for us. So, talked to the board, and we decided that this was the lady. A few days later, I don't know why I picked this particular verse. I don't know if I misquoted it in the morning. But for some reason, this is not a verse that you would normally pick for your memory verse for the day. But I picked Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. So during the day, as I'm walking around, I'm quoting, if a man vow a vow or swear with an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, but shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a man bind upon her, swear with a word, he shall do them. What do you think the Holy Spirit did as a result of the word of God in my heart? The Holy Spirit said, Jim, you told that first company that you were going to go with them. Now because somebody else looked better, you're changing your mind. I realize you didn't sign the contract yet, but what's the deal? I contacted the board and said, look, I feel like we need to go with this original firm. I said, I don't know that I said then, but God always honors doing right.
Amen.
God always honors doing right. So we had this firm draw up our plans, and camp is coming. 2011 is coming, and we're waiting to hear from the DEP that our permits have been approved to bring our utilities on the property. And I get a phone call from the Pennsylvania DEP that says, we've denied your permit to bring utilities on the property. The engineer drew it up that you have wetlands, but you have exceptional value wetlands. We didn't just have wetlands, we had we're pretty special. Exceptional value wetlands. Now, if you don't know anything about exceptional value wetlands, it's the holy cow of Pennsylvania. You just don't do anything. So we searched and searched for a way to bring utilities on the property. That's when we went for a couple years that we did not have water, sewer, or electric on the property, not sure what to do. And finally, I don't have time to tell the story, but about 140 years ago, when they were grading along the rails to trails, it was actually a railroad bed, now turned into a rails to trails. The water came down over the mountain for the last 140 years. And so there's an area about 20 foot wide, which you can walk through without boots, but it's wetlands nonetheless. But 140 years ago, God said, Servant's Heart Camp might need a place to put utilities on. Somebody did not grade properly, and it was too high. There was a 15-foot window of opportunity that we found that we could bring utilities on the property. I mean, honestly, we didn't know what to do. We were just not sure what to do. So We found that the engineering, the same engineering firm, started drawing up the plans again. And I thought, well, maybe because they made a mistake the first time, they'll give us a break. They did not. They kept charging us. Finally, we got the second set of plans. They submitted them to the Pennsylvania DEP. I got the plans, and I'm excited to call an excavator and get started to digging to get some of these water and sewer lines in. And I look at the plans, and I say, well, we had a stream crossing, and I said, we're missing a pipe. They go, oh, no, don't do anything. We got to submit another set of plans. They submit the third set of plans. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking every moment that they're working on the project. The clock is ticking. Finally, we get the third set of plans back that they submit to the DEP. I'm saying, oh, wow, I'm excited. You know, we can maybe get started in this project. They call me and they say, stop, don't do anything. They said, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has stepped in and pulled your permit. Now, we are just a small ministry. We were expecting to pay $25,000 for engineering firm, the engineering fees. We've now paid this firm over $90,000. They charge us for every bit. Now, they did some other work as well that wouldn't be part of that. Question. Have I looked back and said we made the wrong decision? No. Now, I have thought about if a man swears with the snares of his mouth that we need to be careful what we say, but I have not looked back. Does God always honor his obedience? Amen. Yes. For some reason, God did not honor the obedience in the way that I thought he was going to. I thought they're probably going to do the whole project for free, but they didn't. But I haven't looked back on what God had for us. Well, when we were there, when the DEP was there, we have a 7 1/4 acre lake. And the DEP said, has this lake ever been permitted? You need a permit for this lake. They said, we need to know what would happen if it would rain 20 inches in a 24-hour period, and then the lake would break wide open. What do you think would happen? So they have three classifications of lake. Pennsylvania DEP basically has three classifications of lake. They have a high hazard classification, they have a low hazard classification, and they have a no hazard classification. I was praying, Lord, give us a no hazard classification. We just really need a no hazard classification. As they started working on it, because of my great faith, I took off my prayer list, no hazard, and I said, Lord, just give us a low hazard. We just need a low hazard. Probably not because of my great faith, but I thought, if we can just get a low hazard. I remember the time the same engineering firm called me and said, Jim, you're going to have a high hazard classification lake. They said it's going to cost you $10,000 to $12,000 a year just for the permit for the lake. And, you know, it might cost you $100,000, but we don't know what it's going to cost. They didn't give me a number of what it might cost to bring the lake up the high hazard classification. I remember saying to him, does this pull the plug on the project? We already had some cabins built. We were already moving forward. I said, does this pull the plug on the project? Once again, I was devastated. Well, he said, actually, what's putting you in the high hazard classification is just one building down behind the Alley Popper Bar and Restaurant. He said, buy the place, tear it down, do something. So I decided I was going to go talk to the guy. So I went out, and long story short, I met this guy behind the, he didn't call it the bar, he called it something more sophisticated. I forget what he called it, the lodge or something. I met him, and he said, what can I do for you? Well, how do you tell a guy that this building right over here, I'd like you to tear this building down? So I'm starting to talk to him a little bit, and all of a sudden he realized what's happening. He said, so you're the guy. He said, ever since DEP has been in here, they've changed my classification. He said, my building is now in the flood zone. My insurance went up by $500, and now you're coming and wanting me to tear this building down. Honestly, he was awful on me. And at that point, that building wasn't as important to me. I wanted to get out of there alive. I was honestly starting to back up to my van like this. I thought, just let me get in my van, let me get out of here safely, and everything will be good. And all of a sudden he says, where's this lake at anyhow? I didn't know there was a lake around here. He said, you want to see it? He said, yeah. He jumps in his truck, I jump in our vehicle, and we're driving up the road. He's out in 253, even though we're not that far away, we're kind of back here. And driving up the road, I'm saying, Lord, change his heart. Lord, change his heart. Lord, change his heart. We go in, and I show him what we had. We didn't have a lot at that point, but we had some cabins. He said, man, these cabins are nice. He said, this is really neat. He said, tell me again. He said, why do you do this? I said, we bring kids in. I said, we want them to have the time of their life. But ultimately, I said, we want to see them accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior or take that next spiritual step, whatever it is. He said, that's really neat. He said, I'm a Christian too. He said, we're not a bar like you think we are. He said, we don't serve drunk people. And he said, all of our bartenders are certified. And he said, we don't do any of this under the table stuff. He's telling me how wonderful of a bar they are. He said, this is really something. He said, can I bring my wife back? So, sure. So that wife, that in the evening, came driving in. He said, give her the tour. So I go, show her the cabins that we had, and we sat there on the edge of the lake, looking over the lake. He said, why are you showing me all this? He said, well, because of the building behind our lodge, whatever he called it, he said, that's putting them into a high hazard classification. She said, well, it's nothing but a chicken coop, which we fixed up, so let's get rid of it. Make a long story short, we paid $5,000 to make that building be not a factor in the issue. Which $5,000, a one-time $5,000 or a $10,000 to $12,000 yearly fee, that took us immediately from a high hazard lake to a low hazard lake. We are at our next board meeting, and I am at the board meeting, and I say, and I mention the name of the guy at DEP, which I've never met him. I've only communicated by phone, letter, email. I mention his name. Now, keep in mind, we're over here in Hickville, Ramey. DEP is down here in Harrisburg, and one of our board members is down here in Lancaster County. So I mentioned the board member's name. I mentioned this DEP representative's name, and the board member said, who did you say? He said, my kids went to the same homeschool co-op as his. So the next time I'm on the phone with DEP, I said, hey, do you know Phil? He said, yeah, our kids went to the same homeschool co-op. Not a coincidence. He said to me, would you mind if I would review your paperwork again? What am I going to tell him? No. I said, sure, you can review it. About 3 months later, we get an official notification from the Pennsylvania DEP. We are not a high hazard lake. We are not a low hazard lake. We are a no hazard lake. To God be the glory. Great things he is doing. Well, let's see. Where are we going to go from here? When we finally had the permit to put the lines in, when I went into the Ramey Borough Council, they were very antagonistic toward us. Very antagonistic. When they first heard, they said, you're bringing teenagers into the community? You're going to bring drugs and alcohol into the community. Yeah. Well, then after a while, they gave up on that one. They said, it's a cult. It's a cult back that long lane. And I remember trying to get, we had to put our sewer line, we actually connect to the public sewer. We're pumping our sewage about 3/4 of a mile to connect to public sewage because our soils were not good enough. They just sneered at me. I mean, she said, I was on your website. And she said, you won't unite with any churches in our town. Well, she was right. We wouldn't. But I said, well, they're welcome to come to activities. I mean, they're welcome to come. It was all I could do to keep my composure. Finally, it wasn't this one meeting. We finally got approved to put our sewer line under the road. And then we didn't have the finances to do it. And I remember of the verse that the Lord gave me was 2 Kings 19:19. Thou therefore, O God, I beseech thee, save us out of thy hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. I think I misquoted that. But all of a sudden, it didn't become so important to me. I wanted a sewer line, but I didn't want to be that the The Ramey Borough Council was laughing because they finally gave us approval. We didn't have money to put it in. And I remember when we needed $20,000. We needed $20,000 to finish the sewer project. And I remember, I still remember where I was up behind the cabins. I got a call from a guy. He said, "How much money do you need to finish that sewer project?" I said, "We need $20,000. He said, "My wife and I talked about it." He said, "We would really like to help out with this." He said, "We're going to send you $10,000. I said, "Praise God, thank you." I was so excited. I called the company. I said, "We're almost there." We weren't almost there. We were still $10,000 away. I said, "We're almost there. Can you update our quote? We need an updated quote." And the following day, this guy calls me back. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't like to send checks that big by UPS, USPS. He said, "I like to send it by UPS, so I have a nice tracking number." He said, "And also, I thought I'd let you know, my wife and I just decided we're going to send the whole $20,000. And he sent the whole $20,000. We need to finish up. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. I know that we didn't look at a lot of scripture this morning, but I don't want you to think for a second. That's one thing I want you to realize, how important scripture is. Judges. Oh, that's Joshua. That's why it didn't look good. Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. And listen to this. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord." Now, Gideon, did Gideon ever see any miracles in his ministry? Okay, listen to this. Listen to what Gideon says. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of?" You know, I've heard my fathers tell us about miracles, but I've never seen any miracles in my life. When did Gideon see the miracles? When he entered the battle. I have two thoughts that I would like to leave you with this morning. What is the battle that God is calling you to enter? I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit of God right now may be putting his finger on the next door neighbor. I don't know what the battle is. What is the battle? You want to see some miracles? Enter the battle. Amen. The second thought is, is this book important to you? Are you memorizing it? Memorizing is hard, particularly when you get old like I am. Memorizing is hard. But memorizing is the first step. Then to meditate upon it and allow the Word of God to filter through your mind. My challenge this morning is, would you take this seriously? It's a training process. You're meditating all day long. You're meditating all day long, but the trouble is we're meditating on worthless stuff. Would you be willing to say, "God, help me to meditate upon this book. Allow it to filter through my mind. So as it's filtering through my mind, the Holy Spirit can come, put these two together, and direct my paths for his glory." Amen. Pastor.